You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on December 8th, 2022. And this week we're talking about a street preacher in the United Kingdom who is charged with violating the Public Order Act by citing a Bible passage about homosexuality. The prosecutor claimed that such passages are, quote, no longer appropriate in modern society. Unfortunately, he's not the only one who believes this. There are even religious people who would shy away from certain passages in the Bible. So we're going to consider some points about this in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/120822. So now for our story this week. UK prosecutor called Bible passage no longer appropriate in modern society. From the Daily Signal, a Christian street preacher faced charges of violating the Public Order Act by engaging in threatening, abusive, and insulting speech in telling a lesbian couple that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, citing the Bible. In defending the case against him, a prosecutor wrote that there are references in the Bible which are simply no longer appropriate in modern society and which would be offensive if stated in public. The court dismissed the case against the preacher, John Dunn, because the lesbian couple declined to testify. But a prosecutor with the Crown Prosecution Service, the Office of England's Government Prosecutors, claimed before the trial that some Bible passages are no longer appropriate in modern society. So even though this case was dismissed, the fact that this man was even charged in the first place is something that is concerning. It's another indication of the direction that our world is going, where there are certain things in the Bible that are taught there that, especially when we're talking about homosexuality, that they are seen as, to use the words that we read in that article, as threatening and abusive and insulting. However, those who want to throw out certain passages that talk about homosexuality need to be prepared for the consequences, because there are, even now, religious people who are wanting to do this. They just want to ignore what the Bible says about homosexuality or maybe some other passages, but there are consequences to that. And there are some other important truths that are taught in those passages that are addressing homosexuality. So I want us to, today, consider some of those as we look at what the Bible teaches about this. So we're going to look at some New Testament passages that address the issue of homosexuality. The first one is the one that was cited in the article, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul said, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." There in that passage, Paul said that these individuals, the ones that he listed, will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is given as a warning so that they can change course. We see that in this passage because he says, "Such were some of you." This is given as a warning so that those who are engaged in these practices or in these sinful behaviors, they can have a chance to realize that what they're doing is wrong and is not what God wants them to do, so they can change course and be part of the kingdom of God. But notice he says that such were some of you. That means as he's writing to the church in Corinth, there were Christians there who previously practiced these sins, including the sin of homosexuality. You had people who were engaged in that behavior who were part of that congregation. They were not continuing in that because he said, such were some of you. They had left that life behind. They had put that behavior in their past. So when we think about what the Bible teaches about homosexuality, it doesn't just say it's a sin. It says that it is something that someone can turn from, that they can put that in their past, that there were Christians in Corinth who had done that, and they can be part of the kingdom of God. But also notice here in this passage, and also the other ones we're going to look at, homosexuality is not singled out as we're going to target that sin and only talk about that sin. No, it was listed in a group of other sins. A lot of people who want to dismiss what the Bible says about homosexuality or ignore those who would teach what the Bible says about homosexuality make the claim that, well, that's all we're talking about. That's all that we're singling out. No, that's not what we're doing. That's not what Paul was doing. He was talking about other sins as well. And this is just an example of certain things, certain behaviors that will prevent one from being part of the kingdom. Homosexuality is not the only one, but it is one of those behaviors. The next passage, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For the women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Notice in that passage what Paul said about homosexuality. He described it as degrading, as unnatural, as indecent, and would be classified as error. Obviously, he's classifying it as something that is sinful, something that is to be avoided. And this was given as an example of people who had rejected God, or what that led them to do. Once they rejected God and rejected his order and his design for his creation, this is one of the things that it led them to do. They left the natural function of what how God made the men and women and left that and said, well, we're just going to do what we want to do, men with men and women with women. They're leaving God's order because they're disregarding God. Homosexuality is one of those sins where people have to disregard God and what God has created and what he has ordained in order to be able to engage in that behavior. But notice what Paul said right after this. That was verses 26 and 27. Notice what he says beginning in verse 28 of Romans chapter 1. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Again, Paul is listing this in a series of several sins. And he says that those who practice such things are worthy of death, worthy of spiritual death, separation from God, because that's what sin causes. We are separated from God. The wages of sin is death, as he would say in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But notice what he said there in that last verse, in verse 32. It's not just those who practice such things, but he says those who give hearty approval for those things. That's what our society is pushing us to do. To, in this case, often homosexuality is out there, but it could be other sins as well. But this push to accept this behavior, tolerate this behavior, celebrate this sinful behavior, that's what our society is pushing us to do. Well, we may not practice those sins, but if we are celebrating it and tolerating it and approving it, then we're in the same condition as those who are practicing those sins. So this is something that we need to avoid. It's not just we can sit back and say, well, that's their business and I'm just going to be perfectly fine with that. No, we need to teach what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this is contrary to nature. This is contrary to God's will. Therefore, it is sinful. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, those who engage in these behaviors, they can change. We're not helping them by not pointing that out. The next passage, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So Paul says here, again, talking about homosexuality, he's saying that it is lawless, that it is contrary to sound teaching, and that it is incompatible with the gospel. A lot of people are wanting to push this idea that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, that Jesus would be accepting of this. No, Paul says that this is not in any way in harmony with the gospel that Jesus came to bring. So Paul says this is what, again, not just homosexuality, there is a list of sins that are given, but this is incompatible with the gospel. It's contrary to sound teaching. It is classified as lawlessness. But notice what Paul said just a few verses after this. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he said, "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." Notice how Paul identified himself. He said that he was the foremost of all sinners, or the chief of sinners, some translations say. He didn't say that homosexuals are the foremost of all sinners. He said that I am the foremost of all sinners. I am the chief of sinners. So again, he's not, and nowhere else in the Bible do we see homosexuality singled out as, well, we only need to focus on that. No, it's a sin, and it needs to be corrected. We need to teach on it. But Paul said that I am the foremost of all sinners, because he was a persecutor. He was a blasphemer. He was trying to destroy the church, as he explains in that context. But Paul said that he was the example. If he can be saved, anyone can be saved. Those homosexuals who were engaging in that behavior in Corinth, they could be saved. Those who were idolaters, those who were adulterers, those who are murderers, all of them, they can be saved through the gospel. If Paul can be saved, anyone can be saved if they will believe in Christ and obey his word. So the New Testament is clear that homosexuality is a sinful behavior, that it is contrary to the gospel of Christ. But at the same time, there is forgiveness and salvation available to those who practice this sin and any other sin. And that salvation is available through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Now, for those who feel like they can just ignore certain passages of the Bible, passages that they deem to be offensive or no longer appropriate, why do they feel like they are qualified to make that decision? Who are they, or we might be tempted to ignore certain passages, who are we to say that, well, one part of the Bible is not relevant anymore, or one part of the Bible is not any good anymore. These other parts are good. We're going to hold on to them, but these over here, we're not going to pay attention to those. We're going to ignore those. We're not going to follow them. Who are we as human beings to say that? It is the word of God. We are not in a position to say that something he has given us is not something we want to follow anymore, not something that we need to follow anymore. Now, it's not just those who want to defend homosexuality who have this mindset. Anyone who believes that they can ignore something that the Bible teaches that is intended for us during the gospel age, anyone who would do that is guilty of the same thing. Consider a couple passages before we wrap up today. First is over in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul said, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. When we follow a different gospel, Paul said we are deserting the Lord. And he explained what a different gospel was. It wasn't something that everything was different in it. It was just a distorted or perverted or somehow changed form of the gospel that had originally been revealed. We change the gospel or we distort the gospel when we take out the parts that we don't want. When we ignore the parts that we think don't really fit with modern society, well, we're changing the gospel when we do that. And Paul said that those who would do this, even if we as apostles, as he's saying this, even if an apostle, even if an angel from heaven were to do this, to say that, no, you don't have to follow that over there, or this is something different that we're going to do now. Anyone who would do that, even if it was an apostle or an angel from heaven, Paul said he is to be accursed. We cannot change what God has revealed. We cannot ignore certain parts of the Bible, certain passages like the ones that we've looked at already. We can't ignore those thinking that, well, you know, those aren't very popular in our society, so we just aren't going to talk about those. We can't do that. We aren't at liberty to do that. We are not in the position of God. We simply need to follow what His Word teaches and not desert the gospel of Christ. Then the other passage I want to look at before we quit is over in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. Now the primary application there, as this was at the end of the book of Revelation, it is about the contents of the book of Revelation. That if you add to those things, or if you take anything away, then you're going to be, there's condemnation for that. But the principle applies to all of Scripture. If we add to the Word of God, that brings destruction upon us. If we take away from the Word of God, that will cause us to lose out on our reward. So whether we're talking about homosexuality or anything else, we are not at liberty to just say that, well, we're going to add this over here, or we're going to change this, or we're going to take this part out. We can't do that. We simply need to follow what the Word of God teaches. Now, the world around us may find that the Bible, in part or in whole, is offensive and unfit for our modern society. But that doesn't change the truth. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 160, that the sum of God's word is truth. And in verse 89 of that psalm, he said that it is forever settled in heaven. Knowing that the direction our world is going, we need to prepare for persecution. Just like that preacher in the UK had to face with those charges brought against him. Prepare for persecution, not compromise our convictions. We will not help anyone, whether ourselves or our potential hearers, by being silent about what the Bible teaches that people need to hear. So we need to be willing to teach what the Bible teaches, even when it's not popular, even when the world deems it to be offensive and not appropriate for this modern age. We still need to teach the Word of God. So let's be committed to doing that. Whatever the consequences, whatever will come from that, let's make sure that we're teaching the Word of God faithfully and completely so that we can please God and hopefully help lead others to Him. Now that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the story we talked about, as well as other relevant links, you can visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/1208-22. And if you have a minute to rate and review the podcast and share it with others that you think would be interested, that would be appreciated. Also, if you're listening to this, Remember that we are uploading video versions of the podcast now to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer video over audio, you have that option that is available to you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the channel so you can see other videos that are being posted here. I just, as this episode is being released now, just finished a video series of lessons on 1 Timothy, and I'm getting ready to start another series like that on 2 Timothy. So you can check that out, subscribe to the channel so you can get those videos as they come out. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion on the podcast, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.